Good morning, and welcome to our service today at Faith Bible Church. This morning we're going to be looking at a very important topic that many of us are dealing with today. I've entitled the message, No Need to Be Afraid. No need to be afraid. If you have a Bible, I would ask you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter 14 and verse 27. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse 27. As you take your Bibles and turn to John 14, 27, let me say that this passage is a passage in which Jesus is spending some of his last and precious moments with his disciples. As he is about ready to, the next day, to offer his own body, his own self on the cross, for our sins. And he's going to die. And Jesus has been spending his time with his disciples for a couple of years now. And he's been giving everything to them. He's been teaching them and training them. He's been helping them. He's been protecting them. Jesus has been so good to these men through tough times, through good times, difficult times. Jesus was there. And now Jesus is spending this last time with his disciples, and he's going to be telling them goodbye physically. John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let me ask you a simple question for all of those who are watching and able to connect with us here this morning. Are you afraid of what is going on? Are you afraid of what the future holds? Are you afraid of what is going to happen to you and to your family? I think that if many of us would be honest, we would find ourselves in the same boat as so many other people that are living in the world today. Fearful. So many questions that people are asking today, and it seems like everyone has the same answer. I don't know. Well, in John chapter 14, again, we find Jesus trying to comfort a group of fearful disciples as he is telling them that he is going to leave. No, not forever. And in fact, even though he was leaving them physically, he would be present with them forever. Now, these disciples did not understand all of this that was going on then and what was going to take place in the future. And to tell you the truth, they were afraid. Afraid of the future. Afraid of their assignments that Jesus had given to them. Afraid of their lives. Afraid of the unknown. The unknown. So much unknown. So much that they didn't know, and so much that we don't know. And yet there is some encouraging news that we do know and can know. And in John chapter 14, verse 27, there's good news. Again, Jesus is talking to his disciples, but the passage is for us today. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here, Jesus leaves them his peace. Peace. You know, that sounds like a good word. We like peace. When we look at the word peace in the scriptures, The Hebrew word is shalom. Peace, many people sign. Sometimes when people say peace, they're referring to a goodbye. Some use peace as a symbol or a word to explain no war, no enemies. Others use the word peace as a word for tranquility or rest, calmness. And yet also the word peace is used as a word of assurance and stability of mind. Maybe someone would say they had peace about something. Well, here in John chapter 14, there's a couple uses of the word peace. The first I want you to see is peace with God. Peace with God. You know, for many there is a fear of death, a fear of for their lives eternally. Have you ever thought about eternity? Forever and ever. What will happen when you die? In the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul writes, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He says again, "Therefore, being justified by faith." The word justified is to be declared righteous or just. Well, wouldn't that be good if in the end God looked at me and declared me as a righteous person? That would be good news. But the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." The fact of the matter is there is no righteous person alive. How could God then declare me righteous? Therefore, being justified by faith. The Bible also tells us in the book of Romans in chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God in His glory and His holiness has no sin. God is perfect. He has never sinned. He's the only one. And if there were such a one that was a God that had sinned, they would cease to be God. For only God is righteous and holy. For all have sinned. That's referring to all of mankind, all of humanity. We have all sinned and we have come short, or we've fallen short of God's perfection, the glory of God. We cannot attain it. We cannot reach it because we're sinners. We've already missed the mark. We've stepped out of bounds. The whistle has blown. We are unrighteous. We're sinners, for all have sinned. I think this morning you could identify with me that we're all sinners. We've gone against God's word and His law. What's the result of that? A couple chapters later in Romans chapter 6 and also verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." You understand what a wage is? You work for something and you receive something. Different from a gift, because a gift is something that you don't work for, you cannot work for, and yet you receive something. So a wage is something that you work for. "For the wages of sin," so you work with sin, we do sin, and that is earning a wage, and that wage is death. So in our sin, we're working for death. That word death is eternal separation from God. It's not just a physical death, but an eternal physical and spiritual death, separation from God. For the wages of our sin is death. Another way to put that is death is what the Bible says that we deserve, and that's hell. The wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God who is in heaven, and for us who would go to hell. You know, I'm glad that Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 does not end with that statement, for the wages of sin is death. He goes on to say, but the gift of God, remember, a gift is not something that you earn or work for, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, so this gift of eternal life, or this gift of peace with God, is not gotten or purchased or earned through anything that we can do or any money that can be given. No, it's a gift. It's something that is free. It's something that is unmerited. We cannot do with our own by our own selves, from our own selves. Probably the most famous verse in all of Scripture is John chapter 3 and verse 16, which says, for God so loved the world. That's you. That's me. That's everyone. For God so loved the world, no one excluded, that he gave his only begotten Son. That's Jesus. Jesus on the cross. That whosoever believeth in him, and all that he did on the cross, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we see here that this possibility of peace with God. Remember, we're sinners, and we deserve separation, death, because we're sinners. God is holy and just, and he cannot accept me with him. I deserve hell. I deserve death. And yet God has given a gift to every person in the world, and that's Jesus on the cross. Again, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That, my friend, is peace. Peace with God. But it's by faith. Romans 5:1 says. John 3:16 says it's that whosoever believeth. You know, so many people think today that it is our good works that we can do in order to achieve eternal life. Heaven. Yet in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it clearly states it's not by work of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, it's no good work that we can do. It's the work of Jesus on the cross. Many people think that it's religion or church that has the ability to get them to heaven. But there is no church that can get a person to heaven because it's not by works. Many people think that if they get baptized, then they can go to heaven. But the Bible said it's not by works. What about raising a good family or being an upstanding citizen that gives to charity? Yet it's not by work or works of righteousness which we have done. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace, that word grace is another word for gift, something that cannot be earned as opposed to a wage. For by grace are ye saved, that is, pulled out of hell and eternal destruction. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's a story in the scriptures, a true story, in Acts chapter 16. In verse 31, there was an individual that asked how he could be saved or how he could have that eternal life. And there was a few men that responded, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So by faith, believing what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. You see, Jesus being 100% God and yet 100% man. That's important because only a holy God could take away our sin, yet only a human could die for another human. So by faith, believing what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, paying the perfect, precious blood penalty for our sin without any of our own works. Oh, that's such good news. We have peace with God. If by faith you will believe, you can be at peace with God. Remember, friend, it's not your work. It's not going to church. It's not religion. It's not raising a good family. It's belief in what Jesus Christ already did on the cross. Back to John chapter 14 and verse 27. Jesus says, "My peace I give unto you." You see, my friend, there is no need to be afraid. Do you have Jesus' peace? It is not something that you can earn or do. It's not coming to you by religion or church. You simply have to trust that what Jesus did for you on the cross was good enough. Some of Jesus' last words on the cross were, "It is finished." You know, that is the work that is required for salvation was completed for you on the cross already. You don't have to work for it. And Jesus already did it, but you have to trust it. Peace with God. Do you have peace with God? You could have it today. You could have that peace and assurance about your eternity today. But there's another kind of peace in John chapter 14 and verse 27. This peace is not just a peace with God. I, an enemy of a holy God, and yet now peace with God, Jesus restoring us back to God. There's more than just that peace with God. There's the peace of God. You know, for many, there is also a fear of the future, a fear of and for the unknown. The book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds," again, "through Christ Jesus." Now I will say, folks that are out there listening this morning, tonight at 6 o'clock we're going to have another service, and I am going to be speaking more on the topic of the peace of God. And we can have peace of God quickly here this morning because of who He is, who God is, who Jesus is. And we can have that peace with God now and peace of God right now during difficult and scary times of unknown because of who He is and because of what He has told us and said in the Word. The peace of God. I want to encourage you to join us again tonight at 6 o'clock on our website, fbcmountjoy.org. You probably know that because you're watching this now. But if you could come back again at 6, and then of course it will be available thereafter. Come and find out about the peace of God. But in closing, I want you to see a third thing from this passage in John chapter 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. You know, our world has had its periods of earthly peace from time to time, but they have never lasted, and they are so unpredictable, and therefore not true peace. Peace is a security of life and a security of the future. You know, for the most part, our world does not know true peace. Peace cannot come through humanity. For as we have already learned, all humanity is corrupt. There is none righteous, no, not one. So peace cannot come through humanity or any humanitarian program. Peace cannot come through possessions, and so many have tried to buy peace and have ended their lives most miserable men. Peace cannot come through circumstances, although we wait for that time when such wonder comes. And yet peace does not last with our circumstances. Circumstances always change. Peace cannot come through distractions. And so many people are pulling in distractions into their life to block it out. And yet true peace does not come through an escape. That thing that we try to do so much so that it blocks our minds, it blocks our feelings, it blocks reality. And yet, reality always comes back. Peace cannot come through distractions. Peace cannot come through religion. True peace only comes in and through the person of Jesus Christ. Back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, as Jesus, the Christ child, was prophesied that he would come, was said of him in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Jesus is peace. He is the answer to our peace. In the gospel account of Jesus' birth, in Luke 2:14, it was declared, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." When those words were being said, they were referring to Jesus. Here is peace and goodwill to men. After the gospels in Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, we read, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ." Peace only through Jesus. Then in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, "For he," this passage is referring to Jesus, "for he is our peace, who hath made both one," that would be God and man, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Peace only comes through Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Again, we're referring to Jesus. By him, Jesus, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And then lastly, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ, that is Jesus, also hath once suffered for sins, that's on the cross, the just, that's God, for the unjust, that's me and that's you, that he, Jesus, might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And we're so thankful that after his death on the cross, Jesus went to the tomb and he was there for 3 days, and then he rose again on the third day, declaring victory over death, victory over sin, victory over the devil, victory over hell. And he gave us light, quickened by the Spirit. Folks that are out there this morning, Jesus is your answer. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus is your answer. Nothing else, purely Jesus. This is the good news of the gospel. It is a gospel of peace. It is good news. You don't need to be afraid. But you do need to come to Jesus and trust him. Would you trust Jesus today? I know that many of you are all over the place watching this morning, or maybe at a different time, but just for a moment, I'd ask you to take a moment to bow your head and maybe even close your eyes. Let me ask you a question. Do you have peace with God today? Has there ever been a time when you have placed your faith and trust in what Jesus did and not your own way? It's not something that we come to over a period of time. No, it's a transaction. It's a time in reality when we realize that our way of life and work is wrong. Even religion. We recognize that I cannot do it. My work cannot accomplish it. Only what Jesus did on the cross. Only his work that is now finished can bring me peace with God. And I ask you this morning, or whenever you are watching this, have you ever made that transaction of placing your faith from yourself or that organization or that religion or that work that you did, placing it all onto the arms and hands and feet of Jesus Christ and his cross? Have you ever done that? If you've never done that, I would trust today you would do that. It doesn't take a special work, which we've already discussed. All it takes is a realization in placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, saying, Jesus, God, I understand that it's not me. I cannot do it, but today I'm placing my faith in Jesus as my Savior, as my only hope for eternity. Would you do that today? I urge you to do it. If you're out there today listening to this and you have more questions, or maybe you did today place your faith in Jesus, I want to urge you to contact us at our church. You can do that through going by going to our website at FBC for Faith Bible Church, FBC Mount Joy, that's FBCMountJoy.org. And going to our website there on that homepage and clicking on the tab that is there called Connect Contact Us. If you would do that, contact us. There is a couple places under that tab where you some phone numbers and some contact information there that you can get in touch with us. You can contact us through email. If you have questions about what I've said this morning, would love to talk with you about that. Maybe you just want to share with us, and I urge you to share with us that you have placed your faith today in trusting in Jesus Christ. Oh, would you let us know? We would love to rejoice with you about that. Let me tell you one other thing on that website. There's also a tab on the top called Resources. If you heard this morning's message and you still have more questions, it's not quite clear, and yet you want to listen to another even more thorough example and an illustration of salvation and being free from your fear, then you can go to Resources, and there's another tab there called The Exchange. And it's a video that somebody else has put on that we have put on our website. And I want to encourage you to click on that and watch that. I think that it's about 20 minutes, but I think it might help you understand what I've tried to say this morning. Oh, I hope that you can see this today, that you don't need to be afraid. We can have peace with God. And then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, I want to invite you back again this evening, 6 o'clock. I've entitled another message, Overcoming Fear. And I think that will be a help to all of you if you have Jesus. And how to help get victory so you have to live in fear constantly of the future and what is going to happen. And so join us again for that. Thank you so much for coming and listening today at this place. And I hope it's been a blessing to you. My goal is not to get anything from you. I just hope that this could be a blessing. You don't need to be afraid. God, would you help the folks that are out there listening at this time? God, would you give them the peace with God? Lord, would you help them to see that they can be with you, not as an enemy any longer, but with you. And that when they die, they could go to be with you in heaven. And they don't have to worry about anything else. God, help them. Thank you for your good news of the gospel, this good news of peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And if there's anything else we can help you out with, please let us know.